Let me have you turn tonight for a while. Turned into actually more of a Bible study than I thought it would, but I need you to go to Galatians chapter 1. And I want to link something together tonight that I think might be a help to you. And you live in a wicked world, it's no secret, I know that. But my goal tonight is not to just be ranting, raving, negative about things. But at the same time, you need to know where things come from and how things deteriorate. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul starts, and he's writing a book to a troubled church that is no longer certain that they're saved just by grace through faith. And so he's having to deal with a lot here, but he starts and says, I marvel, verse 6, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Lord, we come to you tonight and look forward to having communion service together. Father, here we are the better part of 2,000 years from the inception, and we're still watching and waiting for you to come, and we'll continue to do so. And continue to have communion service until that's the case. But we pray here tonight you might give us some fruitful thought and give us some help in putting this together and saying it right. I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Paul's concern, if you'll notice down in verse 7, he uses a strong word. He says, that other gospel is not another, but there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, pervert is a strong word. And it brings to mind, you know, some other things just about society and in culture and so on these days that has, it's an extreme, rather extreme meaning today. And sometimes when your mind jumps straight to those preconceptions, you can actually miss some Bible connections. I'd like to pull some things together. I first of all recognize that Paul is talking about a perverted gospel, not strictly speaking perversion, but we'll get there in a second. But I want to talk to you about some of those interconnections and what the Bible says tonight. So I want to talk to you about factors in perversion tonight. Paul worried about a perverted gospel. Okay, that said, how would you pervert the gospel? All right, the first thing you would do is change some words, right? I mean, you're going to change what Paul preached as the gospel and use different words. It's a little bit of a game of semantics, but that's exactly what the new versions have done, and many of them have lost a good deal of the gospel in doing so. But you would start by changing words. You would pervert the gospel at first by changing words. That, after all, is what Satan did with Eve, right? He changed some words, and she added some herself. And so that's how we wound up in the mess we're in. So that warns you that it's not just a matter of a perverted Bible or a perverted gospel, but when you start perverting the words of God, you start setting yourself up for human fall, where the perversion goes deeper than words and just the gospel. The perversion becomes you. That's what we are right now. We are a perverted version as fallen men of what we should have been when God started this thing out. So, again, I'm trying to make a connection between the two a little bit. Again, you would use semantics. I would start talking about, you know, I would use other words to soften truths that I don't like, and I would start using other words to kind of expand something I do, and that sort of thing. Now, there's a second thing I would say if you're going to ask about a perverted gospel. I would change words, for one. But you would also change ideals and precepts behind the words. In other words, I'd be changing words, but it would be my desire, for one, to soften sin and make sin not so sinful and make damnation not so hellish. Right? So I'd be changing not just words, I'd be changing the precepts, the ideals. In other words, I'd be changing essentially God's judgments. God said it's this way, and I would try to twist it and rest it, soften it, so it wasn't quite so bad. You know what I'm saying? I would change those judgments. I would read where God's nature is a certain way. Our God's a consuming fire. God is angry with the wicked every day, and I would undertake to soften that blow. After all, who wants to serve a God that's wrathful, right? So I'd pervert the gospel by softening it. I'd pervert the gospel by changing the words. And then, so just with that in mind, now I want you to see how the Bible is with this. The first occurrence of the word pervert is in Exodus 23. Exodus 23, you have to keep your Bibles handy tonight because we're going to be back and forth in a lot. Exodus chapter 23. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 8, the very first time the word pervert is used, 23:8, "And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift blindeth the wise, and perverteth," what? "The words of the righteous." You heard Brother Peacock say, you know, the rule of first mention. I've said, you know, the first way I'd pervert the gospel would be to change the words. Here you have the first occurrence of the word pervert in the Bible, and it's about changing words. Isn't that interesting? Let me take you to the second occurrence of the word pervert in the Bible. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy 16. Now, just keep your fingers here kind of in these pages because we're going to be back soon enough. But notice the second occurrence. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 19. 16:19, where it says, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." Now I realize that in the law here, it's talking about judicial judgment in society, you know, judges judging things. And so I know that there's a little bit of a skip there, but just notice in verse 19 that the gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. It perverts the words of the righteous. The righteous is the primary historic application is the righteous being a righteous man who is, you know, the judge is going to hopefully rule in his favor. But you know who the greater righteous man is in the Bible, right? Well, it's God. He perverteth the words of the righteous. So Paul worried about a perverted gospel. First thing you would do to pervert the gospel is pervert the words. And then, interestingly enough, if you stay in Deuteronomy 16, you know, I said the second thing I would do would be to change the ideals, the precepts behind the words. In other words, how God looks at something, I would try to pervert that judgment. Notice what's interestingly in verse 19 of Deuteronomy 16. "Thou shalt not wrest judgment." Now, I know that's the judgment in judicial law under Mosaic. The Mosaic, I don't understand that. But that's still, those judgments are still what God gave them to judge, right? So if you're not judging those right, you're perverting, in essence, the judgment of God. So again, I'm just pointing out here that there's a few things there. And then over and over again throughout the Bible, judgment is perverted. Judgment is perverted over and over again. For instance, let me just give you 1 Samuel 8 real quick. But keep your finger nearby here, Deuteronomy 16. this will smooth out in a little bit, but I've got to lay down some foundation, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. We're talking about factors in perversion. Factors in perversion. 1 Samuel chapter 8. We just went through this in on Wednesday night. If I can find the page. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 3. This is Samuel's sons. His sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Okay? That's not good. In Proverbs, well, we don't have to go there for now. So, they are perverting God's, first of all, there's His words, but they're perverting His judgments, right? Okay, perverting those judgments, they're perverting His precepts. Therefore, if you're talking about the gospel, if you pervert God's words and then pervert the precepts behind the words, is the gospel even effective any longer? Right? That's what you have to wonder in some places. Take an Eagle Brook. Take some place that, you know, hell's not really hot and sin's not really that bad, and, you know, God just puts up with everything and loves everybody in and accepts you just the way you are. Well, is the gospel they present, is that a saving gospel? Because there comes a point where the gospel is no longer effectual if you remove so much truth and pervert it. That's why Paul said, let that guy be cursed that perverts the gospel of Christ. Now, with that said, we can, you know, I'd like to just point out here, okay, judgment's perverted. Now, we've mainly been talking about the Bible here, but let me just run you to something else. Look in Romans chapter 1. Now, most of you know what Romans chapter 1 is about, and I want to say that now we're talking about perverts in the sense that we talk about perversion in culture. Right? But you pervert the judgment of God, and so where do you wind up? Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they, notice they knew God, and notice, by the way, in verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. So they're without excuse. It says there that some things about God are conscientiously, innately, clearly known and understood by everybody that enters the world. You say, I don't think that's true. Well, I didn't ask you. I read you the verse. That's what it says. Now, in verse 21, because that when they knew God, talking about that understanding, that knowledge, and they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, and to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. And that's where homosexuality enters. And a lot of, you know, now, a great extent beyond mere homosexuality. Okay, what is that? That's perversion. They wound up in perversion. Man has progressed into perversion by changing the judgments of God, right? If you question whether that's the case, let me just take you to another place. Now, I know I'm running around here like a chicken with my head cut off in the Bible, but just hang in there for a minute and let me get this established. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28. And what you're going to see that what rubs up together side by side is Bible perversion, which in the end will take man down to the animal level, and he will wind up having perverted the judgments of God, and he will wind up himself a pervert, just to speak frankly. Okay, Isaiah 28 and notice starting down in verse 9, Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he, God, teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For then he says how it's going to be done. For precept. Now, what is a precept? Okay, a precept is an established principle that God sets forth. Now, what that is a judgment of God. It's God's judgment. It's this way, God says. And to you, it's either this way or you disagree. But that's a judgment of God. That's how God judges something to be. That's what a precept is. Okay? That understood, for precept must be upon precept, line upon, or precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. For the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept. Whether they liked it or not, he was teaching them one principle stacked on top of another principle. Another way to say it is one of God's judgments stacked on another. You know, this is the way it is, and because this is the way this is, this is the way this is. Because this is the way this is, then this is the way this is. Right? Precept upon precept, line upon line. The word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little. There a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. If you won't accept how God lays out His precepts and judgment, it leads you to brokenness. You're just spiritually, you're broke, and you're not what you're supposed to be. In a way, we're talking here about a perversion. So I'm talking to you about factors in perversion here. And there are some factors I want you to see. You've seen them, a couple of them already, but let me go back and track it. We're talking about, okay, Bible perversion, the perversion of the knowledge of God, and then, by the way, the moral, spiritual perversion of man. They all slide side by side. They're all interconnected. I don't think I quite understood that till now. But they're interconnected. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 16. And I'll try not to beat you to death with one Bible verse after another, because I have a lot more here than I could give you. But I'm trying to keep this relatively short and a little bit streamlined. But Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. And we've already seen verses with this in it, but I'll try to refrain. Verse 19. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Okay? What helps pervert the words of the righteous? A gift. A gift. Look, if you will, and again, 1 Samuel 8. Just let me establish this as a principle. One of the things that factors in perversion, Bible perversion, perversion away from the judgments of God, moral and spiritual perversion, is a gift. Now it states it this way in 1 Samuel 8:3. Samuel's sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, so just good old money, and took bribes. Doesn't use the word gift there, but it uses the words bribes. And they perverted judgment. Look in Proverbs real quick. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17, verse 23. A wicked man taketh a gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment. Okay? Judgment is perverted, first of all, by gifts. Okay? Now, that's not a birthday present. Okay? It's like Samuel says, it's a bribe. The idea is you do something for money. Like I said, so the reason there are 300 new Bible versions out there is for money. They changed words because they had to change words to verify, justify their own copyright. And once they get the copyright, you know, right, then they're producing that book and printing that book for money. They don't care about your soul. They don't care about the truth. They want money. Okay? The judgments of God are perverted many times because of money. If you want to look around, find a truly honest politician and find as many as you can, and you'll have about five in the whole United States. Why? Because the way you make, you go into politics poor as Job's turkey, usually, and come out filthy rich. You go to Washington to get rich. How does that work? Because you go in and this guy will help you get elected if you vote this way. And this guy will give you money to get elected if you vote that way. And so you vote that way and they give you the money. That's called being bribed. That's not called doing the best for the country. That's called being bribed. You're taking a gift. You're perverting judgment. You're perverting justice. And then, you know, the way it would work for morals and spiritual things for us, we're perverting judgment, right? Okay, well, don't they say, judge not lest you be judged? Because they don't like you judging stuff. So if you may not be given money to not judge something, but you get something back for not judging something. I mean, if you don't let them change God's word, then they're going to come back on you and say ugly things about you. See, the way you get by in life as a Christian without making too many waves, and you get respect and popularity and they like you, even though the world's not supposed to like you, is by standing by and letting them pervert the words of God without raising a stink. You let them pervert doctrine right in front of you without raising a stink. You let them accept homosexuals into the church. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to convert them, but you accept them in the church and let lesbians pastor without raising a stink. And your gift is they'll leave you alone if you let them do that. Okay, what you're standing by doing, you're essentially being bribed to keep your mouth shut. That's what's happening. Okay? If you don't judge what's right doctrine, then your gift is that you get to keep your friends. If you don't make a stink about sin in society or in the church, well, nobody will make fun of you there. And, you know, in fact, if you want to go full at it, I mean, you'll get to keep your Facebook account. If you don't raise any stink, then you get to still stay on Twitter without being banned. You're being bribed by going along with it. Okay? And so the Bible says that that's one of the ways perversion starts. And it keeps people lost. You know, it's amazing how far some folks will go along to get along. We heard, when did we hear, that friendship of the world is enmity with God. And there's just no way around it. So what are you saying? I'm saying that everybody's trying to be popular as a Christian who's just going along with the corrupt versions. And if you haven't seen yet how the new versions have changed the Bible, you just haven't seen it yet. But where doctrine's changed, where the entire face of Christianity changes when folks start accepting wickedness in, I just want to say that you're popular, you're running downhill, demon-possessed with the swine, going to drown in the lake, but you're popular while you're running downhill. But I'm simply saying that, you know, one of the things that contributes to perversion is gifts. Okay, not just Bible perversion, but moral perversion. Because the more you acquiesce to and just don't say anything, the worse it gets. Let me show you this. Look in Proverbs 19. Let's go to something else. Title of this message is Factors in Perversion. The first thing the Bible reveals is gifts. And you may not get money for it, but they won't make fun of you if you go along. You know, you don't get ostracized if you go along. They'll like you. You may have 6 jillion Facebook friends. And what do you got? You got nothing. All right, look in Proverbs 19 and look at something else. Now, this is insightful into human nature, including yours and mine. Look what the Bible says, Proverbs 19, verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth, strong word, perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Okay, now, that guy right there, like all men that come into this world, they have a certain innate consciousness of God. They know instinctively that some things are wrong and some things are right. You say, well, that's not what the sociologists say. Well, the sociologists are stupid because they don't have a Bible. The Bible says the foolishness of man perverteth his way. A little baby, a toddler, a kid comes into this life knowing there are certain things that are wrong instinctively. And if those, you know, and he has an innate sense of conscience and God. Also, somebody starts getting taught young, maybe some Bible stuff and all those things. But one thing that's always working against him is that the foolishness of man perverteth his way. His heart fretteth against the Lord. There's always a part in all of us that are coming to this world with a fallen nature. That's, by the way, everybody. Our hearts fret against the Lord, and the foolishness of our hearts have a tendency towards perverting our way. We're all foolish. There's a foolishness that works in all of us. There's a lowness. It's like his heart fretteth against the Lord. It's like having on a scratchy shirt. You know, it's just, it's always bugging you. And that's what human nature is like. You have a certain knowledge of God, but it bothers you because you're uncomfortable with it. Ugh. You know, like that. It's, you know, like having something between your teeth where you just can't quit messing with it with your tongue because it's bugging you to death. Okay? A dog fretting a sore. Max gets hot spots if we don't brush him out right, and his coat starts coming out. And so you got to get that under layer off of him, or it starts holding water, holding moisture, and it starts itching. And so he starts chewing. And if you don't watch it, by the time he's over, he'll have a hole this big in his fur, just down to skin, that he keeps biting because it itches, and it'll be bleeding. And you got to make him quit. And so it's a fretting sore. You say, well, what's this got to do with anything? Well, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. One thing that contributes to perversion is the fretting. For Bible perversion, there's just things in the Bible men don't like to hear. So given an opportunity, you know, that it itches them. It's just uncomfortable with it. Romans 1 is just really uncomfortable. If you're a fairy, you know. And so you're going to change the Bible. The foolishness of man, right? If there's something in it you don't like because it, you know, attacks your sin, you're just uncomfortable with it, you don't like to hear it preached on, so you get fidgety under preaching about it because it bothers you. It bothers your nature. All right? Now, let me show you some verses here real quick. I could probably spend 2 weeks with this, 3 weeks with this, but I'll try to rush. Proverbs chapter 14. I'm talking here about factors in perversion. The first thing is gifts. You get a gift if you let the world just run its course. You know, if you never stand out there and street preach, they'll never bother you. But if you stand out there and tell them they're going to hell, they're going to give you hell. Okay? So are you going to accept the gift? You going to accept that bribe? The other thing that contributes is foolishness. Now, definition of foolishness for biblical reasons, Proverbs 14, verse 24, the crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. So foolishness is folly. Okay, let's talk about folly. If foolishness and folly are factors in perversion, how does that work? Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Now this goes through a passage down in verse 20 or so where it's talking about being true to your wife, and verse 20, and why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Okay, his own iniquities, that man's iniquities, shall take the wicked himself. He shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Eventually his sins will bind him and lock him down so he can't move. He's a prisoner to them. Verse 23, he shall die without instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Okay, you know what that points out? That points out how binding sin is. You know how you wound up bound? You're a fool. You're just a stinking fool. Your conscience says, don't do that, and you do it anyway. The Bible says, don't do it, and you do it anyway. And eventually, you know, even after you start waking up realizing it's hurting you, it still feels so good while you're doing it. You do it anyway. It's foolishness. And you wound up bound by it. You wind up a prisoner to your own sin. It's binding. Look in chapter 14, verse 18. Proverbs 14, 18. The simple inherit folly. What's that mean? It means that folly, foolishness, gets passed on generation to generation. Well, my daddy was a moonshiner. In fact, his daddy was a moonshiner. And so am I. You know, daddy beat his wife, and so I give mine a whooping once in a while. Folly's passed on generation to generation. If you want to know why, you know, it seems like sometimes generations deep, great-grandfather to father to son, sins are passed down, it's because they're inherited. I don't mean they have to be. I just mean the son learns the same foolishness that his father learned from his father. And so you wind up with, like I said, it's just weird how, and a little spooky, how, you know, somebody who's a wife beater produces a child that marries a guy that'll beat her. It's weird. But folly's inherited. It's passed on. It's a learned behavior. Foolishness runs generation to generation. I see my father do this, and if I don't learn from his mistakes, I wind up just like him. I don't smoke because cigarettes kill Dad. I have not the slightest desire to smoke. I don't want to die like he died. But there's a lot of folks that do. A lot of folks smoke because their daddy smoked, and their great-granddaddy smoked, and their great-great-granddaddy smoked. And bless God, if smoking was good enough for granddaddy, it's good enough for me. It's just stupid. But that's how, I mean, you look at a generation of parents today raising kids, and you wonder what the next generation is going to be like? It's going to go downhill. All right? Let me show you another thing. I'm really falling behind here on time. We may be here all night, so We'll get a little snack here in a little while. Communion. 15:21. One of the factors in perversion is gifts. The other faction we're talking about right now, factor right now we're talking about is foolishness. Just, there's a part of you that is got on a clown costume and a floppy hat and big shoes and a big nose. And you just have a tendency, a proclivity to run to sin. That's your fallen nature. That's folly. And if you don't stop that, it's going to pervert what you are and what you're supposed to be. 15:21. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. You know what folly is? Folly can be fun. It just is. I mean, parents try to teach their kids, oh, sin. Blech, well, no, sometimes sin's pretty fun. That's the truth. And so you tend to do what's fun. And so off you go into perversion. Look in 17:12. You need to think about this verse. Let a bear robbed of her whelps meet a man rather than a fool in his folly. A fool in his folly, being a friend of a fool in his folly, is worse than running into a mama bear bereaved of her cubs. Some of you don't even believe that. But that's what the Bible says. Part of what leads to perversion is how foolish you are just by nature. Just the natural decision-making process. You just go with what's fun and what feels good. I got one other thing. Proverbs 26:11. And you know what you'll do? You'll go back for seconds. 26:11. As a dog returneth to his vomit, So a fool returneth to his folly. Some sin is gross stuff. And people go back to it again and again and again. It becomes part of their character. They get used to it, so they take the next step into villainy. Before you know it, you have a perverted people. It has now perverted our culture. It's now considered acceptable. No, it's not. And that's how we got there. One, gifts. Two, foolishness. Three, Proverbs chapter 10. I actually like this one a lot. Well, I don't like it, but Proverbs chapter 10, you'll see. Proverbs chapter 10, go down to verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Now look at that last half of the verse. But he that perverteth his ways shall be known. Okay. So a guy that perverteth his ways, well, God knows it, right? It certainly means that. But I got to tell you, I got to wonder if it means something else too. Verse 9, he that perverteth his ways shall be known. I mean, he that perverteth his ways maybe shall be well known. Maybe folks will think, oh, that's kind of cool. Maybe folks will think, bravo. Maybe it's about seeking attention, about seeking the spotlight. People like attention. And, you know, so through the years you've heard, well, you know, this guy sold his soul to become a singer or a movie star or an athlete, professional athlete or something like that. Have you noticed that singers and entertainers have to continually get bawdier and bawdier and more sordid and more licentious. It just keeps getting worse and worse. You have all those kids that came out of churches that, you know, grew up in teen groups that played rock and roll and entertained everything. And those kids all started going on these national shows and winning these contests where they became the next star. And where they started was church youth groups, you know, singing and playing essentially rock and roll. So they go out and become these singers, and 10 years down the pike, they're famous, but they're wretches. They're perverts. Now, what led them to do that? Attention. Popularity. Somebody starts out, you know, as a movie star making family films and Old Yeller and stuff. Then they wind up doing R-rated movies and even worse. It just tends to get worse and worse, doesn't it? Don't the gay parades get more and more bawdy and vile as the years go by? Why is that? Brother Peacock was telling me, he said, you know, that he had did a funeral and he saw the preacher was really nervous at the funeral. He said, finally a guy told him, he said, look, just so you know, there's three women in this family and they're all lesbos. And they're in-your-face lesbos. And so what's going to happen here in a little while is, you know, in spite of the atmosphere and the death and all that, they're going to come in and make a scene and going to sit out on the front row so everybody can see them. Brother Peacock said, sure enough, in they come. They're hanging on each other, kissing each other down the aisle, sit on the front row all through the funeral. In your face. What are they after? They're after a spotlight. They're after attention. Okay, now, scholars like attention too. Okay? False prophets like attention too. So they'll do things in their churches that draw attention. Perverts like attention. You want to see that in the Bible? Look in Proverbs, if you will, chapter 18. Proverbs 18. I know that this is not politically correct, and I'm not sorry. Proverbs 18. Through desire, verse 1, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Just notice that it's all about him. Okay? The fool, it's all about him. He's the center spotlight. 14:14, Proverbs. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. He is filled with his own ways. All he can think about is himself. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. But they love themselves. I'll give you a verse on this again. Isaiah 47. Watch how this comes through. A factor in perversion is gifts. How you're benefited by letting it go. The other thing is foolishness. We're talking now about attention. Some people are what they are because they like the attention. And as sin gets bolder and bolder, it just gets worse and worse, and things get bawdier and bawdier. Look in Isaiah 47. Look in verse 10. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me. It's all about me. So y'all need to look at me. Okay? Now I'm saying that one of the contributors to perversion is that very thing. What's the problem with the spoiled kid? The problem with the spoiled brat kid is that he's the center of everybody's attention, and everybody's falling all over themselves to make sure he's happy. at all times. And more, that's what our society is becoming. That's how people think of themselves. It's all about me. It's about attention. All right, now, then there's Proverbs 31. I know this is real straightforward for some of you, and I didn't plan necessarily for you to be here for it, but I think it's time we got down to the bottom of the Bible issues with this stuff. If the society is going the way it is, you have to be a little bit grieved about that. So why is that? And why is it that, you know, that's in parallel with 300 English versions of the Bible? And not only that, but churches that don't know enough doctrine to fill a thimble. And really, they don't even care whether it's true or not. They just want to do what they want to do. They just want to get big and have fun and have their rock concert. Okay, they don't care whether anybody gets saved or not. They just want to have their little empire. Why is that stuff all going together? Because it's just perversion. It's perverting Bibles. It's perverting doctrine. When you pervert doctrine, when you pervert the Word of God, you wind up perverting your own morals, your own spirituality. It all flows together. It's all connected. Look in Proverbs 31. Watch this. Verse 5. Now, I got to start in verse 3. This is King Solomon getting some advice from his mama. It's good advice. Give not thy strength unto women. He should have listened to that. Nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. Did you see that? Now, aren't you a king and a priest before God? It's not for you to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Why? Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Part of this is it all kind of revolves around perverting the Word of God and then perverting the judgment of God, how God said something should be judged. Okay, she says, don't drink because if you drink, you may pervert the judgment of the afflicted. Okay, what are we talking about here? We're talking about somebody drinking too much so they can't judge. Okay, we're talking about an altered state of consciousness. When you get buzzed up, not that you do, but when you get buzzed up, your judgment falters, right? Plainly. If you're a doper while you're high, you can't think straight. You can't come to right judgments. It's an altered state of consciousness, okay? You can't be trusted for judgment, okay? Let's say altered state of consciousness. I've said drugs and booze. But aren't there more altered states of consciousness? I stop and think about how at the end of the tribulation, the Bible says the devil will have deceived the whole world. Now, if you're deceived enough, you can't think straight. If you're deceived enough, you won't come to the right conclusion. 2 Timothy 3 says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now, I'm just going to make the point that that's an altered state of consciousness. They still eat and breathe and sleep and stuff. But depending on how deceived you are, you may not be able to come to any right conclusion about anything. It's an altered state of consciousness. I'll make my point further. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Because I have a stronger word for you. Ecclesiastes 10. Oh, you're getting a Bible study tonight. I know you're back and forth. And we're going to keep on doing it for just a little while. But Ecclesiastes chapter 10, notice verse 13. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness. Talking about a foolish man. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness. The end of his talk is mischievous madness. What starts as foolishness can lead to madness. Now, madness is crazy. Madness is an altered state of consciousness. And we're not talking about being angry. We're talking about being a little nuts. When you're a little nuts, you're going to mess something up. Right? Look in Ecclesiastes 1. Ecclesiastes 1. Notice what it's connected with, that a word that we've already seen. Verse 17, I gave my heart to know wisdom, to know madness, oh boy, and folly. We just talked about folly. Folly is foolishness. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, his heart, you know, fretteth against the Lord. And here you have now, I gave my heart, Solomon says, to know madness and folly. That's an altered state of consciousness. Right? You know, in Deuteronomy 28 is a long chapter. It's God telling folks in Israel about his judgments that are going to come upon them if they all go off into idolatry. And you know what he says? He says, let me just make sure that I can quote it fairly exactly. He says, the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. So the Lord can smite somebody with madness. It's an altered state of consciousness. If you're there, you can't think right. Right? Okay. Factors in perversion are gifts, foolishness, attention. Maybe you call that ego. But an altered state of consciousness. When Jesus Christ healed that guy on the Sabbath day, it said that those Pharisees sitting around there became exceedingly mad towards him. And again, that's not anger, but talking about madness. You get mad enough, you're a little crazy. I mean, if you lose it entirely, you're a little crazy. What does the Bible say about Balaam? It said that, you know, Balaam, for money, intended to try and curse Israel for Balak. But it said that, as you remember, the donkey talked, right? That the dumb ass rebuked the madness of the prophet. If you're not careful, money hungriness will alter your state of consciousness. It'll make you a little crazy. I got another word for you along that line. God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Why? Because they didn't receive the love of the truth. Okay, but delusion is an altered state of consciousness. I got another one for you. It says in Leviticus, if a woman lays down with a beast, that's something called confusion. Now, you adults know what that means. Right? We're talking here about bestiality. Okay? That's way perverted. In one of the next couple of chapters, it talks about a father-in-law lying with his daughter-in-law. And that's confusion. It would follow, therefore, that a man lying with a child or another man would not just be abomination, but confusion. Because of those other two things being confusion. You know what those things are? It's perversion. It's an altered state of consciousness. Okay? Sin will make you a little crazy. The prodigal son first had to come to himself before he was able to return. Sin will make you a little crazy. Along the road to perversion, you have gifts, foolishness, attention, an altered state of consciousness, and I'll try to wrap this up pretty quick, but let's not forget, once again, just real quickly, Isaiah 47. I know it's been heavy. I know it's been long. I couldn't shorten it. Isaiah 47. You've seen the verse already. Verse 10, but notice here. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. Adam and Eve, We're told not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they did anyway, right? They got knowledge of something they weren't supposed to have. And because of that, they became fallen creatures, giving birth to generations of fallen creatures, right? Wisdom and knowledge. Bible says of the devil that he was wiser than Daniel, but that he corrupted his wisdom. And so now there's two kinds of wisdom in the world. There's two kinds of knowledge in the world. And I just remind you once again, just go read through that Romans 1 horrible passage. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. So they didn't do the right thing with that knowledge. And became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. God turned them over till finally it's a reprobate mind. Okay? That's an altered state of consciousness, but it's also fallen wisdom and fallen knowledge. All those things lead to perversion. Look at one of the last few final verses. Look in Micah chapter 3. I just started connecting dots here between, you know, we don't normally think of side by side man's moral and spiritual perversion following along with, you know, perverting the words of the Bible. But in the end, it follows right along. Because that book is what holds things together. That book is what keeps you straight. You start messing with the Word of God, God's going to mess with you. Look, if you will, in Micah chapter 3. Little book of the Bible. Micah chapter 3, go down to verse 9. Hear this, I pray ye, ye heads of the house of Jacob and princes of the house of Israel that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They abhor judgment. We started out with somebody not liking judgment, and because they didn't like judgment, they did something else, right? Well, you come around and then you abhor judgment. And so you're in a day now where somebody preaches like this tonight, and they ain't coming back. They're not going to come back because they heard stuff that they hate. You start talking about, you know, gays and this, you know, queer festival currently that we're in of, you know, this is a manifestation of perversion all around and, you know, messing with kids that are 9 and 10 years old, convincing them that they're the wrong gender, and then letting them, you know, then locking the parents out of the knowledge of them having surgery. It's perverted beyond belief. And it's going on in America. It's not in Haiti. In America. Right under the nose of the Bible, and this the reputation of this country as a Christian country. Okay? They hate judgment. Now, connect just one more set of dots. What have we said? We have said that things that contribute to perversion is, first of all, gifts. Then we talked about, make sure I get them in the right order, foolishness, attention. Everybody's got to be a star. An altered state of consciousness, and not just drugs and not just smoking grass, but confusion, deceit, delusion, right? Wisdom and knowledge, the wrong kind. They hate judgment. Then there's this, just a few verses kind of close together. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and you'll notice this passage starting up in verse 5. Got a problem with a guy named Bar-Jesus, who is also in verse 8 called Elymas the sorcerer. Sergius Paulus wants to get saved, and Elymas the sorcerer is his buddy, and he doesn't want him to get saved. And so Saul comes along and Elymas steps in because he's trying to thwart Sergius Paulus from getting saved. Then Saul, verse 9, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Now, this guy was a sorcerer. He was a witch. There's a spiritual vector to that, right? It's spiritual. Look in Galatians 1 again, our original text, and truly, I am almost done. But he says in Galatians 1, 7, rather, verse 8, but though we are an angel from heaven preaching any other gospel, why would he say an angel from heaven would preach another gospel? Because other angels do. Because there are spirits involved. And this will be the last verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And notice verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Now the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, so they're saved, right? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They give heed to seducing spirits. There's a spiritual vector in perversion. Elymas was out to pervert the right ways of the Lord. Okay? That angel preaches a perverted gospel. There's a spiritual vector to this. It's not the first vector. The first vector, among the first vectors, is your foolishness. My foolishness, the foolishness of my heart. First thing you should realize is you're a fool left to yourself. So you better get in a book that's wise and let the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, teach you the truth. Because otherwise, you're a clown in a costume. You're an idiot. I know that because I'm an idiot. And I'm smarter than you. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously. I mean, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. Don't ever underrate that. There's a part of you that fights against God all the time. Don't underrate that. You are a fool. So get filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of wisdom. Know Jesus Christ. Get in the book and grow. All righty. Let's have a word of prayer here. Now, Father, as we close this